Amen. You may be seated. First thing I should probably do is introduce myself. It's good to be back. Bob had served a bunch of Thanksgiving meals, and I think several hundred. And somebody in that line must have had COVID because he got it. And he just was not feeling good and did not want to spread it around here too. So he asked me to fill in for him, and I said, be happy to. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about Thanksgiving. I know we're kind of wanting to get into the Christmas spirit, but this is still Thanksgiving weekend. And there is something that I find interesting in the Bible about Thanksgiving. You know, it's a time of thinking of the blessings that we've had and giving thanks for those blessings. And I found something that I thought was rather interesting, and I'm going to play a little game with you and ask you to put on your thinking caps. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to come up with a number in your mind, but don't say it out loud. And the question is, how many times in the Bible do you think that we are told, we meaning the reader of the Bible, that we are told to be thankful? Going all the way back from Genesis, all the way to Revelations, I want you to try to maybe in your mind think of verses in the Bible that talk about being thankful and come up with a number in your mind, best guess that you can think of as Christians or Old Testament as Jews, how many times are we told to be thankful? Now, when you come up with this number in your mind, I want you to lock it in. Don't change the number, because I'm going to ask people to raise their hands, and I don't want you changing your number because you see different hands going up. Okay, so has everybody got their number in their mind? Just kind of shake your head if you do. Okay? I see a lot of still heads. Okay, you got the number in your mind. Okay, how many of you, by signaling with an uplifted hand, how many of you think that there we are told to be thankful 50 or more times in the Bible? Just raise your hand. Okay, just about everybody. Okay, now, how many, the number in your mind is more than 100? Raise your hand. Almost the same amount. Okay, I'm going to keep going up. 150. Okay, still a good bit. 200. Still a good bit. Let's jump to 300. Is your number 300 or more? Still have a lot of hands up. Okay, I'm going to make a big jump. 500. One, two, three. Okay, we're narrowing down. Only three hands left. Now, I'm going to tell you, I told Nancy earlier, I whispered to her that there are a lot of things in the Bible that we don't know that are in the Bible. But there are some things in the Bible that we think are in the Bible that are not in the Bible. And this is one of the situations, because in the Bible, we are told to be thankful exactly three times. Surprise, right? I even have the verses, and I'm going to read the verses to you, just so you know. And I promise you, there are no more than these three verses in the Bible. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name." Now, that's the only time in the whole Old Testament that we're told to be thankful. We'll jump to the New Testament. Romans 1:21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And then the only other time it's in the Bible is Colossians 3:15, which says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Now, that surprised me when I found that out. And when you look at these three verses, you could almost throw out two of them. Because in the Romans verse, it's not talking about being thankful. It's accusing, Paul is accusing people for not being thankful. And then if you look at the Psalms verse, in Psalms 100, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's the thrust of the psalm. And then it says, be thankful unto him. It's almost like being thankful is an afterthought to entering into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Now, I'll ask you another trivia question. How many times in the Bible do you think that we're told to give thanks? I won't ask you to go through all your hands again. This is probably what you were thinking of when I said be thankful. Because in the Bible we are told 73 times to give thanks. So here is the crux of the message. Why are we told only 3 times, and really only one of those 3 times is a valid instruction to be thankful? So I'm going to say, why are we only told 1 time in the Bible to be thankful, but yet we're told 73 times in the Bible to give thanks? Is there a significance between these two phrases, being thankful and giving thanks? I think there is. I think that a very important reason that we're told to give thanks, yet we're not instructed to be thankful. Have you ever thought about the difference between thankful, being thankful and giving thanks? I think there's a huge difference, and that's kind of what I want to talk about it today. And here's what I think the difference is. Being thankful is an attitude. Giving thanks is an action. Being thankful is a mood or an emotion. Giving thanks is an instruction. I can't go through all 73 verses, there's just not enough time, but I picked out 10 or so, and I want to go through these 10 verses and show you the difference between being thankful and giving thanks, and why it's important that we know the difference and what we need to do about it. So, let's look at a few of the verses, and you'll start to see a reason for the difference between these two words. There is a section in 2 Chronicles where an army of Jehoshaphat is getting ready to set out for battle. And it says this, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, one of the times we're told to give thanks is when we're starting out to battle. Now, we don't typically fight physical battles, but we do fight a lot of spiritual battles. And I think it's easy to translate this verse into our lives with the spiritual battles that we fight, and that we should start out the battle giving thanks to God. I noticed that a lot of sporting events, they still start out the sporting events with prayer to God. And I think that's a good thing to do. And I think it's kind of parallels with this, because sporting events are, in a way, are a physical type of a battle. But it puts your mind right. It makes you think of what's really most important, which is not necessarily who wins or loses, but we want safety among our kids when they're playing sports. We don't want to see injuries. We don't want to see people get hurt, that type of thing. So starting out the battle is one. Now, the next time we're told to give thanks is part of temple worship, or in our case, church worship. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, Hezekiah assigned the priests and the Levites to divisions, each of them according to their duties as priests or Levites, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. So what is God telling us? He's telling us when we come to church, the first thing we ought to do is give thanks. Give thanks for our building. Give thanks for the opportunity to freedom to worship. For the resetting of our minds that we need to do at least once a week to realize the things that are important. So a part of worship is giving thanks. Now, How about Psalm 106, 47 says this, "Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." This psalm was written at a time when Israel was surrounded by her enemies. So that's another time that we are told to give thanks. Now, that may not seem the time that you would give thanks is when you're surrounded by your enemies, but yet that's what we are instructed to do. Remember, this is not an emotion. This is an action. This is something we're told to do. We're told to give thanks when we partake of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10:16, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, is that not a participation in the blood of Christ? It is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" So we're told by Paul in 1 Corinthians that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it should be something that we give thanks for. Well, what's another one? Nehemiah chapter 12. You know the whole story of Nehemiah is about rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. The Jews had been deported to Babylon, and then they returned 70 years later, and the wall was in ruins, and all of the surrounding nations at the time were trying to keep their foot on the throat of Israel. They did not want them to build that wall because they knew if they built the wall, they would have some level of independence and security. So they tried to stop them from building the wall. Nehemiah says this, "I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right," and it goes on and tell where they were doing. But understand this, they're building the wall. Picture this. While they're building the wall, Nehemiah said, "I want us to have a choir up on the wall singing and giving thanks to the Lord while our enemies are out there ready to attack us at any moment. Our attitude should be that of giving thanks to the Lord." There are only two military leaders that I can think of, and Charles, you might be able to correct me if you think of another one, but in the history of time, I only know of two military leaders that never lost a battle their whole military career. One was Alexander the Great, and he had a very short career, but the other one was Oliver Cromwell, England, and he came after one of the kings, I forget which king, had been deposed or killed or whatever, and he went to battle, and what he would do is the first people in the battle line, much like Nehemiah, would sing praises to the Lord as he went out to battle. This is the only guy I know of that did that, and he's also one of the only two people that I know of that never lost a battle his whole life. So we're told to give thanks to the Lord in times of battle. So again, spiritual battles, physical battles, whatever they are, give thanks to the Lord. How about this one? Give thanks for our salvation. Psalm 118 says this, "I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation." How many times do we stop and actually thank God for saving us? To know, as the liturgy I read about hope, to know that we have a future in heaven, a bright destination, that's something to give thanks for on a regular basis. How about this, when you can't sleep at night? Sometimes I have trouble. Sometimes I wake up at 3:30 a lot of times. I don't know why it's 3:30, but I'll wake up at 3:30, and then I'll toss and turn for a while. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 119, it says, "At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws." That's a great way, I think, to overcome insomnia. Because if it's the devil trying to wake you up, he's certainly going to let you go back to sleep if you're giving thanks to the Lord. And if God wants to wake you up in the middle of the night and you give thanks to him, then you've accomplished what he wants to do. So it should be a great way to go back to sleep. So remember that. If you wake up in the middle of the night, Can't go to sleep. Psalm 119 says to give thanks to the Lord at that point in time. How about a more encompassing verse? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That kind of covers anything we haven't covered so far. Give thanks in all circumstances. I had a couple of events that happened to me in the past week, and I didn't know I was even going to be preaching, much less preaching on this. But the first event that happened to me was I have this old rickety trailer. Some of you may have seen it or heard it going down the road. But I've had this trailer for like 30 years, and it's served me so well through the years. And I finally decided it's time that I kind of refurbished it, restored it, or whatever, got it working a little better. It just makes so much noise, this and that. The tailgate was the drive-on tailgate, and it just about had rusted through and all sorts of problems. The wood was rotting on it, this and that. So I undertook this project after 30 years to restore this trailer. And the last thing I did was take it to a metal shop and have the tailgate redone, put some new expanded metal on it. And I got all that done, and I was so proud of my trailer. It didn't squeak, it didn't rattle or make any noise, and the tailgate was nice and strong. And I had this done, and one day later, I went to the post office to check my mail, and I happened to have the trailer because I was going to do something with the trailer on it, parked kind of off to myself there, and then there was this terrible crash noise. And somebody in a great big truck, one of these, I mean, huge trucks, had come around and just kind of nicked the back of my trailer, and he caught that tailgate that I had just fixed and bent it like a bologna sandwich. It was just totally bent over, and I could not believe that this happened. 30 years I've had this trailer. 30 years I've put up with this. I fixed it for one day, and the thing's bent over. Now, put yourself in my shoes. Would you be thankful at that point in time? No, I was not thankful at all. Can you give thanks in all circumstances? Yes, you can. Now, I don't know why, and I'm usually not this mature, but I decided to give thanks. And I actually felt sorry for the guy that hit it because he worked for a big company. I knew he was going to get in trouble. You know, they don't like it when their drivers have accidents. So he sheepishly came back to me, and I quickly said to him, hey, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. And he said, let me call my boss. He'll come over here right now. He's close by. He'll come over and we'll make this right. And I said, okay. So he called his boss, and his boss came over. And I talked to his boss, and I said, look, I kind of was parked a little too close to the road. It's partly my fault. I said, I don't want you getting mad at your driver. It's partly my fault type of thing. And he says, do you have like an hour or so? And I said, yeah. And he says, well, if you'll take this trailer a block up the road, he said, I got a machine shop up there. I will fix your tailgate to where it looked just like it did before the accident happened. I said, okay, that sounds great. And I did. I took it up there, and sure enough, they heated it up and straightened it out and fixed everything, and you can't tell the difference. Now, if I had jumped out of the car like I'm prone to do and waved my arms over my head and yelled at this poor guy, I could have, let's just say I could have lost my testimony, okay? And I could have got him in trouble. But as it turns out, I had a nice conversation with the owner of the company and the driver of the company. And I honestly think they were impressed that I didn't blow a fuse over it. And I just tried to be a Christian witness. So that was one time last week when I'd said, I'm just going to give thanks in this situation. Now, the only thing I had not done to my trailer yet was redo the lights. So 2 days ago, I backed the trailer into the garage. I took all the broken lights, you know, the lenses were broken, all that stuff, and I put a brand new set of lights on the trailer, got them all wired up, hooked the truck back up to it, turned on the lights, and they didn't work. And I thought, I always have trouble wiring lights. I don't know what it is. But part of them worked, but the blinkers part didn't work. And I had worked on this for like an hour, working on this. And I was so discouraged. And I was sitting in the car, in the truck, with the blinker on, looking back, it's not working. And I said, I'm going to try to give thanks again for this. I don't know, Lord, what you're up to or whatever, but I'm going to give thanks. So I turned the blinker off, cranked the truck up, and the battery's dead. The battery's dead because I've had the lights on trying to work on the blinkers, right? Now, normally that's not a problem because in my truck I carry a little jump box all of the time, except for this one occasion when I had taken the jump box out to charge it up and I forgot to put it back in. So I had no way to start up the truck. This is at my warehouse, not at my house. So what am I going to do now? Well, right outside the warehouse is this truck that one of my tenants have, and I thought, well, I'll just jump off his truck. So I knocked on his door, and I said, can I jump off your truck? He said, you could if I had the keys. He said, but I don't have the keys. He said, the guy that's working on my truck has the keys, which is next door. So I said, okay. So that was when I went and did the first part was the lights. I forgot to tell you that. He had parked his truck a little too close, and I was asking to move his truck back. I don't have the keys. Anyway, while I was working on the trailer, he went and got the keys and backed the truck out of the way. So I went to get the keys thinking they were over there, and the guy said, no, he's already picked up the keys. So I came back to get the keys from the guy. Now he's gone asleep. He's asleep in his apartment, and he's hard of hearing. And I'm banging on the door, you know. So finally I went in, got the key off his dresser. He never heard me go in. Started his truck up. This took an hour just to start the truck up. And the whole time I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why this is going on, but you tell me to give thanks in all situations. I'm going to give you thanks. Now, I wish I could tell you, as I sit here now, the end of the story and why all this happened, but I can't because I don't know why it happened. I still don't know to this day, and maybe I'll never know. But I do know, Scripture says, to give thanks in all things. And I do know that by me giving thanks in both of those situations, my attitude was different than if I had just been complaining. Why me? Why does it always happen to me? Why can't I fix the trailer? Why does this guy have to break my trailer, right? You know, when I got it fixed type of thing. It does something to our emotions that is good, even if we don't understand what God's up to. And it also glorifies God that we are doing what His Word tells us to do, to give thanks in all circumstances. And we're in good company. In Revelation 4:9, it says, you know, there's the four living creatures in Revelation, heavenly beings. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. So the heavenly beings are giving thanks constantly to God. So we're in good company with them. We're also in good company with Jesus. Because Jesus in Luke 24:30 was on the road to Emmaus. You remember the story. He met the guys who were disappointed about the crucifixion. They thought the Messiah had been defeated, that maybe he wasn't the Messiah. And Jesus started walking along with them and says, what are you talking about? They say, don't you know what's been going on? And they said that after a while, Jesus says to them, how foolish you are and slow to believe. He says, didn't the prophets predict all these things had to happen? And he explained to them for a period of time, went through the prophets, went through the Psalms, and explained that this is exactly the way it happened. When he got to the destination where they were going, he wanted to leave, and they said, please stay with us. And he said, okay, I'll stay. And then we pick up Luke 24:30. He says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and began to give it to them. And that was when they realized who he was, and that's when he disappeared. But think about the fact that he took bread and gave thanks. He gave thanks to a group of people, or two guys, who he had just said, how foolish you are, how slow you are to believe. So what does that tell us about giving thanks? It tells us that, number one, Jesus gave thanks in all circumstances, even when he was had to chastise someone. He still gave thanks. So we are to give thanks at all times. Now, I'm going to close with this. Again, the difference between being thankful is an attitude. It's an emotion. Giving thanks is something we're told to do. Here's another difference between the two. We are thankful when good things are happening, but we have to give thanks when bad things are happening. That's the big difference. So, when are we thankful? We're thankful when we have a full tummy. We're thankful when we have money in the bank. We're thankful when our car is running great. We're thankful when we have a good relationship with our spouse. We're thankful when things are going good. When should we give thanks? Well, we should give thanks during all of those times, but there's also, I've listed 25 things we should give thanks for. This is my top 25 list, and I'm just going to whip through them real quick, and I'm going to tell you, these are going to hurt when you hear these. Here's things you should give thanks for. A stubbed toe, a dead battery, high gas prices, a power outage, a car wreck, cancer, a fight with your wife, a chip in your windshield, COVID infestation, indigestion, a paper cut, a headache, a dripping faucet, the President of the United States. I heard that. Not enough milk in the refrigerator for your cereal. Did you get that one, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay. A sleepless night, we talked about. Burnt bacon. Back pain, knee pain, hip pain, feeling your age in general, a cold, windy day, a flat tire, an unexpected bill, and finally a broken salt shaker. I have my favorite salt shaker. I broke it this week. I hate that. Anyway, we're told in all of these situations to give thanks. Why is it important to give thanks? Because, number one, it changes our attitude. Number two, we're following the will of God. Number three, when others see us giving thanks in times of difficulty, it makes us stand out from the rest of the world. It is a way to give your testimony without saying a word, to be cheerful and to be optimistic and to be thankful to God when things are not going your way is a mark of a Christian. So, all of these verses are given to us in preparations of difficult times. The difficult times are coming. Of my list of 25, I'll bet you're all going to experience at least half of those. So, now is the time to decide how you're going to react when these things happen. Because if you wait until they happen, I promise you, your emotions will overwhelm your logic and your reasoning. So it's good to go ahead and prepare that ahead of time. So my challenge to you is, when the tough times come, go ahead and decide now that you're going to give thanks. And by doing so, you'll be a blessing to God and you'll be a blessing to others, and you will actually bless yourself to it too. So that's my challenge for this Thanksgiving weekend, to carry out throughout this week, next week, and next year. Be joyful in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then see what God's going to do because you follow his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for fun passages in the Bible and then for difficult passages. Passages where we're told to do things that don't come natural to us, Lord. Because we know by doing that, we will unlock the secrets of your kingdom. And we will receive special blessings and rewards for following your will and doing things that are come particularly difficult to us. So I pray that as we go through this week, next month, next year, whenever any of us are encountering everything from a stubbed toe to a cancer diagnosis, that we will stop and start out by giving you thanks for what's going on, knowing that you have our best desires in mind, that you are going to be glorified in all things, and that you're going to use us in some way, shape, or form to glorify you, and that we need to get with the program and be in line with what it is you want to do in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.